Well, good evening. It's good to be here this evening. And I'm going to be sharing a bit of work, with Christian Witness to Israel. My name is Philip Amos. I'm the missionary, one of the missionaries here in London with CWI. But I've been asked to share a short word from the Word of God first, and that is what I will do. And the message this evening is about power in weakness. Power in weakness. If you have your Bibles with you, I'm going to be looking at a couple of verses in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. Now, the Christian life is full of apparent contradictions, and this is one of them. There is power in our weakness. Now, I don't know about you, but I think evangelism is one of the least popular ministries in the church because people feel weak and afraid, and I'm one of those people sometimes. We often make excuses that we don't know the Bible well enough or that we won't be able to answer people's questions when they ask us things. And or maybe even someone will get angry with us when we share our faith with them. Well, the good news this evening is that if that's you, if you feel weak when it comes to the Christian life and to sharing your faith, that's not a bad thing. Because when we feel weak, our confidence will be in the Lord and not in ourselves. It will be His power instead of our own, which is on display. And that way, God alone gets the glory and not us. So the Apostle Paul knew what it was like to be weak and afraid. And when he came to the city of Corinth, he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 3, that he came in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. Now, this is the mighty Apostle Paul. He performed some pretty awesome miracles. And he was a bold speaker, a bold evangelist. And yet here he was, come to Corinth, and he feels weak, afraid, and he's even trembling. Now, maybe this was because he was expecting persecution. He certainly had his fair share of that. Maybe he was in poor physical health, and there are suggestions in some of his letters that he struggled with health problems. But whatever the reason, the result was that there was a powerful witness. Because in the following verses, it says that my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not rest on the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Isn't that what we need in our witnessing? As Stephen was saying earlier, we need revival. We need the the Holy Spirit. You say it better than me. It's not about our charisma, is it? It's not about our charm. It's not about trying to win people over, you know, trying to win every argument. It's not about those things. We need the power that comes through the Spirit of God anointing our words. That's what we need. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that we shouldn't study the Word of God. It doesn't mean we shouldn't be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks us for a reason for our faith. 1 Peter tells us that we should do that. But what it does remind us is that we need to get on our knees before we go out on our feet to share the gospel. And I think the more God wants to use us, the more he may lead us down a path of weakness so that we trust in him more and more. And that seems to be what happened with the Apostle Paul. It seems the more God wanted to use him in power, the more trials and difficulties he had in his life to keep him humble and dependent on God. If you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 to 10. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 to 10. Paul says, because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. And he has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong. Wow. How often have you said that when you've gone through a time of weakness, insults, distress, or difficulties, that you're well content? I know I've struggled to say that. You know, isn't our normal reaction to cry out to God, God, stop, I want my comfort back. You know, we like to be comfortable, don't we? We don't like it when we go through difficult times. But the Apostle Paul took a different view. Once he understood that the Lord had allowed him to be afflicted for his glory. Why? Because Paul's sight was on the kingdom of God alone and being used by God in the preaching of the gospel. And eventually, he even embraced those trials instead of running away from them so that the Lord could pour out his power in and through him. Now, we could list a whole number of characters in the Bible who were used by God in their weakness. Abraham and Sarah were too old. Moses had a stutter. Gideon thought he was a nobody. Jeremiah was too young. Elijah was suicidal. The Samaritan woman was a social reject. The disciples ran away and hid. And Timothy was timid. Famous preacher Charles Spurgeon said this: God never objects to weakness. When he comes to work, he prefers it, for it makes a platform for divine power. What did he say to Gideon? The people are too many for me. He did not say that they were too few. You never find a case in Scripture of God saying that the people were too few, but it was that the people are too many for me. Man's strength is more in God's way than man's weakness. No, human weakness, inasmuch as it makes elbow room for God's strength, is God's chosen instrument. Isn't that something? Our strength is more in God's way than our weakness. I think too often we approach challenges in the Christian life, myself included, in our own strength, instead of trusting in the Lord. We have some problem and we try and solve it in every possible way, and then we think, oh, better pray about that too. You know, evangelism is no different. It's very easy to rush on with our programs, and almost prayer can sometimes be an afterthought. Prayer, as you were saying, Stephen, earlier, you know, it's the powerhouse of evangelism. It really is. Why? Well, we're in a spiritual battle. We face a mighty foe. Satan has blinded the minds of unbelievers, the Bible says. And none of our best efforts on their own can save anyone. I've got a saying myself: I can't save a sausage. It's just kind of a funny little way of reminding myself that Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. Not even a little bit. Nothing of eternal value can we do by ourselves unless we've got the life of the vine, that is Jesus, flowing in and through us. Only God can perform the greatest miracle of all. That isn't raising someone from the dead. God can do that. The greatest miracle of all is when the Lord regenerates someone's spirit, when they become born again through trusting in Yeshua as their Messiah, as their Savior, and their sins forgiven and granted eternal life. That's the greatest miracle of all. And only God can do that. And for that reason, we desperately need the Lord's power to be at work in people's hearts and minds when we're sharing the good news with them. So let's pray that the Lord would work powerfully through our vulnerabilities and our weaknesses as we share our testimony, as we share our faith with our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, our family. You know, don't be afraid to show people that you are weak. We haven't got it all sorted as Christians. You know, we're all a bunch of failures, really, because we all fall short of God's standards. But showing, not being afraid to show our vulnerabilities and weaknesses and say, hey, you know, I haven't got it all sorted, but God has strengthened me. God has healed me. God has enabled me to come through some really difficult times in my life. And I don't have all the answers, but I know that Jesus has saved me and brought me forgiveness and brought me eternal life. You know, that kind of showing that kind of vulnerability to people can really speak volumes. I just want to close with this thought in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26 to 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 to 31. So the Apostle Paul says, "For consider your calling, brethren, that there were not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to shame the things which are strong. And the base things of the world and the despised God has chosen, the things that are not, so that he may nullify the things that are, so that no man may boast before God. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord." Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are not looking for perfect people, because none of us are. And in fact, Lord, I thank you that you specialize in choosing the things that are not, the weak things of the world, in order to shame the strong, the foolish things of the world, to shame the wise. And Lord, we come before you this evening in our weakness, in our vulnerabilities, knowing that, Lord, we struggle with sin, we struggle with failure, and we don't have all the answers in life, but we know that Jesus does. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are able to work so mightily, so powerfully in and through our weaknesses, just like you did with the Apostle Paul. And so, Lord, would you please give us strength? Would you give us your courage to share our faith in the power of the Holy Spirit with the people who so desperately need to hear the good news of Yeshua? And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So I think I have a